This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Welcome to Stuck at Home with Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. Here are your hosts, Jason Smith and Cliff Dorfman.
Huzzah! Welcome. New episode of Stuck at Home with me, Cliff Dorfman, and this guy.
The guy with all the wizard beard, but none of the wizard magic.
That's a good one, by the way, Jason Smith.
Where's that?
A good one.
I'm excited. I got so much magic hands that I'm knocking my microphone around. We're the pod that tells you all about shows we love and we want you to love.
Yes, we'll tell you all about the streaming wars, what to stream, and where to stream it.
All right. So, Clifford.
Yeah.
Clifford. Yeah. I feel like that your magic name would be Clifford.
It would. Clifford the Great.
Clifford the Grand.
Yeah.
What are you stuck at home watching today?
I've been stuck at home rewatching every season and episode of Magic for Humans.
Magic for Humans.
Yes, and I've been watching the one, I got very special privilege to watch the last Zoom he did, the Magic for Humans on Zoom, Justin Willman. I mean, this is, let's start talking.
My comfort food. I get through these seasons so fast. That's the only problem I have with them is like, I'll get through them so fast and then I'll want to watch them again. And my family will be like, Jason, you can't just sit in your room and watch the magic show all day. I absolutely can. And I can rewind them and I can watch all the different pieces. I had the privilege of talking to one of Justin's exec producers a couple years ago when the first season came out. And I was like, is this all real? He's like, yeah, listen, every reaction on there is real. All this stuff, magic is really happening. They're doing all this stuff live. And I'm like, that's the life. That's the life.
But if you had any doubt, now you see the Zoom thing. Watch you buy a ticket Zoom. For the Zoom.
Absolutely.
And it is through the roof. There's no, you can't, you can pause it. And he's got only the cameras he's got. Yeah. It's insane. There's no bullshit in this whatsoever. Go ahead. What do you got?
Do you, I've only been in one fist fight in my life and it was in the first grade and it was over magic. It was over magic.
Really? What happened?
Yes. All that happened was real simple. I went one day, I had like one of those junior magic kits. You get like a play school, my first magic kit, like when I was in the first grade, and I brought it to school and I did all the tricks because they're not sleight of hand or anything. They're basically just like all foam balls and you push them into these little compartments and move stuff around. And I brought a deck of cards one day to school and they were like, they were specific, like go fish cards, not magic cards. And I couldn't do any magic tricks anyway. And he asked me to do a magic trick and then I said I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, do a magic trick. And I said, I couldn't. And he knocked my cards out of the way. And that's the last thing you do. You never mess with the magician's cards. Then I had to fight.
That's so you fought.
The only time I've ever gotten detention. The only time I've actually fought back with another human that wasn't like a family.
Fighting for humans.
Yeah. But over magic. I've always loved it. And I've always,
Wait, the caveat was that wasn't family.
That wasn't family. Yeah,
Magic for Family, yeah, I think, would be a far different show.
I'll fight my cousin Jeremy all day.
Okay, well, by the way, Dan, thank you. You said great recommendations. You love The Queen's Gambit. If you love The Queen's Gambit, or series, totally different, but watch Magic for Humans if you haven't seen it. I'm not just saying this because Justin's here, which, by the way, I have not been this excited. This is my top two magicians for me. Okay. This guy and David Blaine. Yeah. Everyone else, and I've seen so many. I'm Vegas nonstop all the time. This guy, Blaine, not Chris, what's his mind, fuck, none of those guys. And by the way, all due respect, I love the shows. I've seen him. I bought the kits. This guy and David Blaine, Justin Willman, that's it. That's right it for on. Me.
Well, you know, we've talked him up enough, and now he has to live up to these expectations.
He never seems ready to have a bring problem. Him on. I know. Are we good to go? Can we do this already? Because I'm very excited.
Let's do it.
So without any further ado, from his special on Netflix, Magic for Humans, they're on now. Watch all the seasons.
Yeah, but more importantly,
yes, go.
Magic for Humans at Home, which is which is out there. We have links in the invite, and we'll have it in all the comments, so you can go to that too.
And Jason usually runs it across the crawl. You buy a ticket, and you got to see this thing. He's interacting with everybody. He's got like 700-800 families from all over the world on this thing, and he's doing magic to them. So without any further ado, my favorite magician in the world, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Willman. Yes. Yeah.
What's up? I dropped something. That wasn't supposed to be magic. I was picking some stuff up.
I never believed
that was the nicest introduction I've ever heard.
Really?
I'm flattered. I want to meet this guy. I'm like, I can't believe it.
No, it's true. When you make somebody happy, you get a special bond with them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, we tried to make a show that people connect with and that it can be their happy place, you know, at the same time. So I feel like you kind of, you know, you're like hugging their heart when they watch.
What you do is what Pixar does. It's the parents and the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
But neither can watch by themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
You can take that.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you can write that down somewhere.
I'm find that pen on the floor somewhere.
Listen, I get, where are you from, Justin, originally?
St. Louis. St. Louis.
Missouri. Wow, how'd you like that?
Did you have to deal with the Sklars much? Did you run into many?
I didn't run into them in St. Louis, but I've run in the same circles as them. Those are good dudes.
They are good dudes.
Love
good
them.
Friends.
Good dudes.
I didn't know they were from St. Louis. All right.
So Jason just pops in. Hey, I got something to say. And then poof, he's gone.
That's how we roll.
That's my magic. My magic is only having enough to say that I can get out of it quick.
It's because he has a beard, the wizard beard. He can do that.
I love it. So you grew up. Yeah. He does have the wizard beard. You're not wrong. Yeah. All right. So wait, growing up in St. Louis, I want to know, because you touch upon it briefly and you show us photos and stuff of you as a kid. But I want to know, like, when and how does this magic start? And who was your mentor? Like, who really brought you into the fold, the secret society?
Well, so I broke my arms when I was 12. I was riding my bike while wearing rollerblades.
I was going to ask you about that. Was it a kid triathlon? What's going on there?
I don't know. I thought it was cool. And it was cool for a little while. It was
cool
when it worked and until it didn't. And I was in casts for 6 months. I had to have my arms rebroken and all this stuff and pins. And all this time I was in the Children's Hospital in St. Louis. I had this magician who would come through and he would do shows every week. And I would look forward to it. And my doctor one day was like, you know, you should maybe learn magic as physical therapy. You'll get your dexterity back. Be a cool hobby. So I did. And then that magician became my mentor. His name was Dr. Magic. Mm. He was not a doctor. It was just a stage name. And he had a wizard beard, very much like Jason's. Mm. And he kind of took me under his wing.
I also go by Dr. Magic, but not for magic.
Yeah. Not for doctoring or magicking. It's what you think it is.
So you made it better,
and
Jason.
Yeah. So he took me under his wing. I started doing like kids' birthday parties and, you know, kind of loved the magic side of things, but also attracted to the entrepreneurial side of things. You know, like, oh, people will pay me for this. I can have business cards when I'm 14. This is cool. I got a briefcase and a suit. I was like hyped up on every aspect of it. And the entrepreneurial part's what lit my parents up. My dad, you know, was very kind of fiscally minded. So he liked the magic. He really liked the magic because I was able to, you know, support myself with it.
Yeah, you can actually, he can see it. It's not a pipe dream. Oh, you go to parties, you get paid. It's a living.
Exactly. He's like, the money is changing hands. I can support this.
Right. You learn to trade. It's like, Dad, it's not a trade. It's not a trade. It's an art.
Dad.
It's an art. But
I emphasize the trade parts of it to attract him. He loved the magic. He didn't want to know how anything worked. He like hated knowing how anything works. He would walk into my magic basement like with his eyes shut, be like, it's time for dinner. I don't want to see anything. But they were mom and dad, both very supportive.
Listen, and before we dive too deep in, I just want to ask you, what's with the J's, man? You got Justin, you got Jillian, you got Jackson. By the way, how are Jillian and Jackson?
They're
Everyone's
good.
Good? All right. Just ask.
They're around here somewhere.
Okay.
Whenever I'm like doing a thing when, like, you know, cause everything happens in the house now. It's like, hey guys, stay off the Wi-Fi and stay quiet. So everyone just goes, I don't know where they are. They're just somewhere reading a book quiet.
You get your four-year-old to be quiet? That's a magic trick.
Two, and no. You'll hear him pass by like a tornado probably at some point here.
Okay. So you got the J's, right? So you meet your soulmate and it just happens to be a J. But then you have a kid. That's purposeful. Now you're like, no, we're naming him Jackson. So is there any reason behind this or just coincidence?
It kind of wasn't purposeful either. I just like the name Jackson. Jill loved the name Jackson. And I mean, it's not this just the J's, but my wife goes by Jill and we call Jackson Jack. So it's Jack and Jill. But not by accident. I mean, not on purpose. Total, just that's what it is.
This is the kind of insights I'm looking for, man. This is what I mean. You're a human and you do magic.
Now, exactly.
You're very into, you know, so there's different kinds of magic, right? And when we talk about magic being an art, and you'll forgive me, but I want to do a little bit of a deep dive into this. I know why I think it's an art, but for you, what makes it an art? What's the difference between doing a card trick and an illusion and using energy?
What's tricky is that, like, It's magic is an art, but sometimes it's presented not in an artful way. It's presented like in a puzzle. It's like a puzzle or like a, you know, little brain teaser. Like that's magic at its most watered down form. And it's still cool, you know, but I feel like a lot of people see that first, you know, or they see it as little kids' entertainment type of thing. But when it's elevated to an art, like people like Blaine, Penn and Teller, and, you know, like Darren Brown, and, you know, and I try to aspire to that at times. Like, I feel like it has the ability to like spark wonder and the imagination, just like a good movie and a good song, you know, like, and I certainly didn't, I tried to, like when I was first starting out, like I definitely wasn't an artist. I was like mimicking magicians who I looked up to, like Lance Burton. I was obsessed with him. I idolized him as a kid. I don't know if you ever saw Lance Burton.
I did.
The Hawks and the Doves. And he was like this, the quintessential magician.
Sort of
just
OG.
Flawless artist. Exactly. So, but then it wasn't until, you know, I'd been doing magic for like 20 years until I was like, oh yeah, I don't have to like mimic these guys. I can kind of just come up with my own rhythm. And then I think that's when the real work starts.
Well, thank you for saying that, because the next question I was going to ask you was how, like, I know when I'm writing, how I'll get an idea or whatever, but how do you turn that into a trick? How do you start developing tricks? I could write a joke, I could write a script, but it's a physical, tangible thing and it's a mental thing. So how does this process work for you?
Well, I mean, it's never the same way for any two tricks, but like, what's one of your favorites from the show? And I could maybe talk you through the process behind it.
Okay. I think the one that stands out to me the most is, aside from every time you levitate with the hose or anything you do, is the balloon with the cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that came from that came from like initially just like getting a kick out of the stupid pun of, you know, backing someone's phone up or syncing it to the cloud. And I was like, wouldn't it be fun if you synced it to the cloud by like sending it off in balloons, but then don't worry, I backed it up and it stuck to your back. So like that almost wrote itself in terms of here's the trick that I want to see happen. The hard part was figuring out how to make it happen, you know, in one shot without cutting. But I think the best tricks are ones that start with, here's the goal. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this would be really great. And then you figure out how to do it. And that's like the fun, hard, nitty gritty part with your magic team. But those are often the best ones.
Team. You have a magic team.
I got a magic team.
What does that consist of? Tell us. I love this.
Okay. So
this is great.
When we're writing a new season of the show, we start even before the magic team comes in. You know, I've got like the writer's room, which is comprised of like four or five kind of comedy writers who do not know magic. Mm-hmm. Plus me, plus one other magician who's kind of like my head of magic, who's also very funny. And we kind of come up with, you know, the goal, the perfect scenario for themes and episodes and what tricks would serve those themes. And
then sorry to interrupt, Justin, but are you basing it on like, okay, I figured out how to put the cell phone on my back while I appear to put it up in a balloon. And now let's figure out how we write the theme and everything else for the trick. Or are you saying, let's come up with everything and maybe I'll figure out how to do
everything,
the trick.
Anything is possible. Like blank slate, you can do anything. You know, like let's recreate the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment, but let's somehow make it magic and try to prove some new point. You know, like no methods. You know, how do we do that is discussed in that first part. It's just all anything is possible. And then we've got this, you know, amazing you know, season written. And then it's like, how the hell do we pull this off? And then it's the magic team, which is kind of like, you know, there's the nice side of the offices where we do the writer's room and there's LaCroix and the fridge and the AC works. And then there's like across the street, the dingy warehouse that's just like dirty and there's exposed bulbs and, you know, lukewarm Costco water. That's like where the real work happens. And it's like 6 to 10 magicians, men and women, many of which I've known for like most of my life. Because it's magic's like a small world. Like we came up in the magic world together, and you've got like a kind of like the Avengers. Because everybody's got their own little niche. So like one guy might be really good with paper. If it involves paper, cardboard, anything flat and two dimensional, this guy, he's a wizard. Okay, and then there's somebody else who's like expertise is maybe big stuff. Big, like if you like, if I'm going to do the power washer levitation, like this guy's got experience with stage illusions. We can figure out a way to adapt stage illusion methodology to the street. Another guy might be just really good with, you know, small objects. What is it? Mm-hmm. It's got a Rubik's cube or it's a, you know, a shoebox, you know, so everybody's got their strengths and we kind of come together and come up with, sometimes you have to compromise, you know, like, okay, well, this was written, this is impossible, but let's get the same thing accomplished with this instead, you know? Right. And then by the end of the writing period, the magic writing period, you kind of got what you're going to head out into the world and shoot.
You see, this is fascinating to me. Much more, I mean, listen, I keep seeing that you're the prestige, so just, you're the prestige, let's just move on. But that's how I keep seeing it, like the trick with the blueprints and being built, but there is this side, and these are the way you make the blueprints, right? And you have to do this, otherwise no show, no magic.
Exactly. And it is a little bit, I mean, the prestige elements of kind of wanting to get to the trick before somebody else does, you know, like when there's some really, really great idea, you know, you very well might not be the only one who thought of that idea to do to levitate with power washers, but, oh, there's Jackson. But it's about who's the first one to pull it off out in the real world and make it look good, you know? So you are kind of, you know, there's a race, you know, it's kind of competitive, but friendly because it's a small little world.
It is friendly?
It's friendly. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because there's only, with these the magic team, like there's only, you know, like 20 to 30 people who actually have that skill set in the world, you know, who are kind of the go-tos.
Yeah.
So they kind of spread their, they kind of, you know, they've got a limited number of places where they can get employed for their brain specialty.
Yes. So and this is one of them. Now, one of the things I love, and I know we are going to focus more on, you know, magic for humans on Zoom, but I want to just ask you about in the last season, one of the things you, it seemed thematic to me was the idea of the word, the power of the word and the power of the mind, and used a lot of this stuff. Now, do you find that with your tricks that is something that you like to lean more into or away from, you know, as far as using that energy?
I think I've been attracted to that more lately because I think, you know, specifically, for example, like the bit I did with the influencers, you know, where you're trying to kind of like subliminally influence them, which is inspired by a Darren Brown bit, who's a genius and a hero of mine. I feel like that stuff is really timely these days. Like it's on the tip of everyone's mind already because we feel very vulnerable to technology and the government and our phones listening to us and like someone making us do the things that we're doing. So it's fun to kind of do a trick where whether or not that's really what's happening or not, making it feel like that illusion is real is exciting to people, you know, like mentalism, you know, stuff that happens in your head where, because it could be possible, you know, like it's a little more real than, you know, just making an elephant appear from nowhere, because you know that elephant had to be somewhere. But like plucking a thought from your head, you're kind of like, maybe he is on a different energy wavelength. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, so in all this now, did you read any books that were like, you know, the Lesser Key of Solomon and Goetia or any of the Kabbalion or anything that talks about, you know, manipulating and moving energy as it exists in the physics realm?
I did not.
Okay, so I'm interested.
I sound smart and
no, I don't want you to sound smart.
I dabbled a little bit. I dabbled in this, but I haven't. Like I've nerded out so heavily in magic, and you know, in magic, you kind of get a crash course for all these, especially like psychology, like all the different psychological elements that magicians employ to, you know, to fool your brain, you know, to deceive you for your pleasure, you know, is fun kind of next level fodder.
Now, I've been trying to like put off asking this, but are you going to do any magic for me? Because this is like the best thing that's ever happened to me that I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
It's fun doing stuff, you know, because I'm here and you're there, but, you know, like perspective is a fun thing. Because I hold an AirPod far away, like it looks like it gets super tiny, you know, but if I hold it up like right next to the camera, like it looks like it gets huge. Now, that's not technically magic per se, but it's a fun little illusion because you're...
I was watching the earpod the whole time. It did not turn. I did not see it turn huge. It turned huge for anyone who's not watching this.
I can do something for you and Jason here.
Please. Yes, Jason, come
here.
We've been dying. Oh, God.
I got this luggage tag. This was a gift from my
ready.
This is a gift from my dad. I turned 40 in July, and as a gift, my dad, in the middle of a pandemic, got me luggage tags. A gift I can't even use.
I'm not traveling.
We lost half our sponsors because half our sponsors were luggage when COVID started. Yeah.
Oh man, away.
I feel like your dad and my dad.
Away. Yeah, exactly. They away went away.
But you and my dad know each other. Don't I think they shop at the same places, same bargains.
Well, this was I think a thrift store find because it was used. But my wife and I, it kind of did inspire a conversation. My wife and I have been talking about where we want to take a vacation to when we can, and we realized like. Just like sitting up in bed and like looking through Zillow and like dreaming about living in a certain place, just like planning a vacation. You don't even need to take it. It's kind of a vacation to plan a vacation. So let's plan a vacation right now. Jason, Cliff, Jason, where do you want to go? Where are we going?
We're going to Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you would have said, Cliff?
No.
What would you have said?
I would have said Monte Carlo.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I should have asked you then, but Jason gets what he wants. We're going to Puerto Vallarta.
That's usually how it goes.
What airline do you want to take? In fact, invent an airline. Cliff, you get to invent an airline that's never existed before right now for our trip to Puerto Vallarta.
Epistemology Airlines.
Epistemology. Well, nice. Is that a reference to the rubber arm experiment?
It is.
I dropped a line in there. I said I'm a professor of pseudo-epistemology, which is the study of things that aren't...
It's philosophy. Real. You're a fake philosopher.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I loved it. I'm going to use it.
So Epistemology Airlines. And Jason,
yes.
We have a plus one. We can take somebody else. Maybe the most fascinating person you can imagine sitting in a middle seat next to on a flight to Mexico. It could be living, dead, fictitious. Who do you want to take?
I want to take Dave Mustaine, the lead singer from Megadeth.
Dave Mustaine. Okay. Is he a buddy?
You make it easy.
What?
Is he a buddy?
Oh, no. I have no idea. I've never met him in my life. No.
You would love for him to be a buddy, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to see him in his Speedos on the beach in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. I couldn't think of anybody more.
How fun is it just to plan this vacation right now?
That's super fun.
To go to Puerto Vallarta. With Dave Mustaine on Epistemology Airlines. And if we took this trip, it might be a disappointment, but I'm glad we're actually planning it.
We're going to try. I mean, if you're going to take the lead singer of Megadeth anywhere, it's Mexico.
That's what my dad's luggage tag inspired in us. By the way, he didn't mention it was used before. I had to call him out on it because there was somebody else's information in here. Check out who... whose luggage tag this was before he gave it to me. You got your glasses on? I'll hold it real close.
Yeah.
You can see it. It was David Staines. He used it on a flight aboard Epistemology Airlines. Puerto Vallarta. And then to Monte Carlo.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh.
That's...
I can't.
Those are the ones that always impress me the most.
Oh, what?
That's fun. See, that's the mental stuff, getting in your head.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. I didn't see one person pass there. How the hell would he know that, Jason?
It never made sense until now. I'm glad you guys cleared this up for me.
Well, that even the things that we chose were super random, and yeah.
I don't know about you.
You don't think everybody says Dave Mustaine? Come on.
I feel like that was the first time anybody's ever said Dave Mustaine out loud in like 10 years at least.
That was, oh my God. First of all, thank you. That's insane. And that's the mental stuff. I mean, that's okay. I know you're not going to tell me. And by the way, I don't want to know. I really don't. I'm like your dad. I have no want at all to know any way you guys do this.
I respect that. I like that.
Yeah, because it's the same thing. If I go into, and I'm not comparing in any way, I'm just saying one is the other. If I go to a strip club or I go to a magic show, I want to be fooled. I want to be deceived. Yeah. I want to spend my money and a lot of it to be deceived because it's one of the best feelings. And magic, I'm talking about now. Right. Magic is one of the best feelings that I have since a kid, really. I mean, because I was a big nerd. Okay. So you talk a little in this about growing up being a magician. You make light of it. Like were you really bullied growing up about this in St. Louis?
I wouldn't say bullied. I was like an outlier. I bet I was kind of like on the fringe. I was a click hopper. I wasn't like kind of like, you know, these are my boys. It was more of like, oh, hey, Justin, come on over. Show us a trick, you know? Okay, cool trick. All right. Well, I'm in class now, bye-bye. You know, it was kind of like that. Huh. But
it allowed you to travel in between social worlds.
Very much. And I think what was helpful is that I was kind of the only magician in my high school. That's when I really kind of started to really flourish as a magician. Like I was, you know, I wasn't in the closet as a magician. Maybe in junior high, I was a little more insecure about it. Mm-hmm. But because I was the only magician in my high school, like it was very much like a special thing, which I think you don't really get with other, you know, other pastimes. I mean, if you're the star of the football team, you're still one of 30 people who are on the football team, you know, like all these other team sports, you're kind of, even when you're the hot shot, you're still not the only one who's doing that. So it kind of, I think helped a little bit. It could backfire. I mean, when you're the only one, that is fodder for getting bullied, but I was lucky.
Well, no, I'm glad to hear it. And I ask this because I notice now a lot, like you go back to birthday parties and you love working with the kids still, which, you know, there's a lot of magicians that would just leave that behind and say, no, now I do big shows and I'm in, you know, but no, you're very much connected with the kid inside magic as well.
Yeah. You know, I think when we made season one of Magic for Humans, I did not think I was making a show that people would let their kids watch, you know, like. And then in the end, it was like, well, for the most part, this show's like PG, except for like six little moments or jokes throughout the show. Right. You know, like in this episode, you know, the sixth episode, this love episode, we did a segment with, you know, guys who were into puppy play, dressing up as puppies and yes. having someone else be their master and going out and walking on a leash, which, you know, parents maybe have requested that they didn't have to explain it to their six-year-old, but thanks to me, they did. But there's something about magic that I think just invites like that childlike wonder, and parents want to watch that with the kids. Like if it would feel weird to watch a magic show that your kids can't watch. So then I kind of skewed things back to like a, you know, it's a little bit for, it's for everybody. You know, I always hated the phrase all ages, but I feel like right. I kind of have come around to that now because I, you know, it's hard to do something that's fun for all ages. It's hard to do a show that satisfies everybody yeah. while making everybody think the show is for them. You know, so that's where I've landed now.
So, oh no.
Oh no, no, no. I'm early. I just, I wanted to get into a little bit of this, yes. you know, the live show and the Zoom show. So
oh, yeah.
you've done a couple of these now already, right?
I've done about 15 or 20 of them now.
Yeah. So you're doing them every Saturday. Is that how it's working? Basically?
I'm kind of spacing it out. I did a bunch in August, September, October, and then I wrote a brand new show for Halloween weekend, which was a blast and like a stupid mental load to put on myself to write music. And then I'm doing a show this weekend for Thanksgiving weekend. And then I'm writing a brand new show for Christmas. It's kind of become like this addiction of mine because I think I'm so like, I've been doing shows in front of live audience since I was like 14. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the beginning of this lockdown that I realized, like, I took for granted how much my own mental and emotional stability is medicated by performing, right. you know? Yeah. Like, I'm always, it's just kind of a routine, you know? My life is balanced in, I'm home, I'm happy, and then, oh, got to prep for a trip, I'm traveling, I'm doing my show, I'm filling my soul, and then I'm traveling back, and it was just my routine. So not doing that kind of made me weird.
As a person who runs a podcast network filled with comedians, including the lovely Sklar brothers, yep. I've heard this a few times from a lot of people, like where this need to kind of get in front of people and just part of that routine. That's the biggest part that's missing for a lot of people and was a real hard one to fill.
And you know, I had like an offer in July to do a drive-in tour. And I was like, oh, that'd be good to get back on stage. And then I kind of looked into it and it's, you know, you can't even really see the people, you know, you're performing for cars and they're far away. And I was like, I feel like people would come and be really let down. Like, so then I started doing, you know, I did some TV appearances via Zoom to promote the new season of the show. And I couldn't believe how actually like powerful it was and intimate. Like you're really looking into someone's eyes as if they're right here, you know? And so I wrote a brand new show for that. I do it out of the dining room and it's been, you know, incredible. It's wild because it's people all over the world. So people who wouldn't end up being able to see me on tour anyway, but parents and kids and grandkids all huddled on the couch together. And it's kind of it's heartwarming even before the show starts, just seeing people all around the world kind of excited to have minds blown.
And now it's got you creating new shows every time though. Like you were doing the same, doing your show. And now it's like, okay, now Halloween. Nope. Now Thanksgiving. Nope. Now Christmas. We're going to just make these all new. So how's that feel? Like,
I wouldn't be doing that if people weren't coming back. So, you know, like after the first time people were like,
when's the next one?
Come again? Is it going to be a new show next week? And I was like, well, no, not next week, but you know, like for Halloween, for Halloween weekend, we had like 2,000 people who had already seen the first show
coming back.
So I feel like the obligation to keep throwing, you know, fuel in the fire.
Me and my daughter have a ritual of going to Benihana every year for Valentine's Day. We go every year. We've gone forever. My wife normally works Valentine's Day, so it's become our kind of tradition. They do the exact same shit every time. Every time it's the little chicken and the egg. They spin it. Same jokes, same whistling, same little smoke rings. I come back. I don't care. I love it.
They can get away with it. And when you go to see, you know, you go to see Bruce Springsteen, there's certain songs you want to hear.
Yes.
And you heard them a million times, you know? If you go to see Megadeth, it was, right?
Right. Yeah, you can listen to Symphony of Destruction. That's only...
Exactly. Right.
They don't play that.
All the new stuff. So, but with Magic, like, there's something about, like, once you know where it's heading, you know, I mean... Cliff, Jason, you might actually enjoy watching it the second time because you're like, okay, now I know where this is headed and I'm watching a little more analytically and you could respect the things. But for the most part, you know, people don't want to see it coming. They want
to,
you know, once you know that that it's going to be a big AirPod, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
Experience. Exactly.
I still don't mind it though. And what, Jason, I mean, I'm just going to say this, 2,000 people came back at the holiday. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
2,000 people on. Imagine doing a 2,000 person Zoom. And is it true you didn't really know anything about these cameras and everything that you got set up there?
I did not. I mean,
you had to learn it all.
I very much like in making like the Netflix show and stuff. Kind of like let the people who do those things do it. You know, like when we're editing, I kind of like through osmosis learn a little bit of what looks and sounds good. But for the most part, I just kind of figured it out. So now I'm kind of here. You know, in my dining room, I'm here.
Yes.
I got toys and buttons.
Don't start doing all that stuff because then Cliff's gonna be like, "Why don't I get buttons?"
Yeah, why don't I have that?
Cliff, every time.
It's
bad enough when I got him his own soundboard.
Get some stream decks.
Oh man! Now that's just more money I got to spend. Talk about out of pocket. Like,
but do you see this? This is what I'm saying, and it's I don't want to get this wrong, but I feel like when I read how much is the ticket, like $20? Is it something that
$25? Yeah,
that's it.
That's it for the whole household.
That's what I'm saying. That's nothing. That's $25. Yeah. I see people, there's 6-8 people sitting watching the show. I mean, you know, that's $3 a person.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
It's a hard year. It's a hard year. So I kind of was like, let me go for the quality and quantity, you know, mindset.
This is working. So we have one coming up on Saturday.
One coming up on Saturday, 4 p.m., a little Thanksgiving hangover cure.
And then
I'm going to write a new show because I said I would for Christmas. So December 20th, that whole weekend, we'll do some shows. I'm sure you'll see my son in an elf hat.
Well, I'm going to be there.
I'm going to drop. 100%. We have a family Zoom scheduled for Saturday that I'm going to sneak out of and tell them I'm really busy so I can come watch yours.
Is that an ongoing regular family Zoom?
Yes, there is an ongoing family Zoom.
Have you guys missed a Saturday yet?
Yes, and I'm still paying the price for it.
Oh,
okay. only I miss them. Everybody else makes them.
You just need to come to that Zoom with tricks, and they'll forgive you. That's
what I'm saying, you can distract anybody. What were you talking about again? I don't know.
Exactly. Well, I would love to keep you longer. But
I know, but wait.
Wait.
Last question. What's your favorite trick?
Ooh, I is my favorite trick?
I had to do it.
Okay, my favorite trick is, favorite trick from the TV show is one where we extracted people's NSA chips, their microchips.
Yeah.
So it was from the technology episode. And I just love this trick because it had kind of been this, what's the word? Not a golden goose, but a trick, like a thing.
A red herring?
Not a red herring, a different animal metaphor for this trick that you idealize, but you can't figure out. It's your, maybe it's golden goose.
Maybe
anyway.
It's your man of La Mancha. It's your windmill.
That's what it is.
All right.
The idea of like removing people's chips using like psychic surgery, you know, like the Amazing Randy would debunk this old psychic surgery was always funny to me, you know, like confirming people's conspiracy theories and just couldn't figure out a good method for it. And then, you know, it was like 3-4 years later. And my buddy suggested, why don't we come up with a way to use a penis pump, but just don't mention it's a penis pump and use it to extract people's chips. And we came up with a way to make it look really real. And I just loved it because I get a message a week at least from somebody saying, I've been chipped. Can you help me remove that?
And that is the perfect note to end this on. Yeah. Justin, I cannot thank you enough for being here. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Best to the family. And check it out, Magic for Humans, this Saturday on Zoom.
Saturday.
JustinWillman.com/virtual.
Magicforzoom.com.
Magicforzoom.com.
Don't have to worry about people misspelling my last name. Magic for Zoom. Yeah.
Right on.
Guys, this is a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Justin. Have a great day.
Justin Willman, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
What a nice guy.
I know. Don't be mad at me. I had to ask the last. I was saving that question for last.
You know what? I let you off a little bit early so we can get right on time. We are right on time.
Oh, my God. You did. You tricked me.
You got to use that mental. That mental.
Magic.
That's right.
Well done, sir. Well done. And the only thing that could be better than watching this show this Saturday is what I'm going to be watching it in.
I'm going to be watching it in underpants only.
I ordered new loungewear.
Oh, yeah. You could wear it in loungewear, too.
I'm
going
like
to get
loungewear and fancy
Zoom
up.
I like to be in a Zoom. I like to go Bert Kreischer style.
No shirt and undies. Just
undies and jeans. Like, I don't want to wear jeans any other time unless I'm not wearing a shirt.
What do you figure, speaking of bears hibernating, Bert Kreischer?
Exactly. Bert Kreischer. I got this new game on my Xbox called, I don't even remember what it's called. It's like Pulsar or something. But you create your own DJ and you dance and you make remixes. I talked about it on that show.
Yes.
But my DJ is named DJ Hot Pants. And DJ Hot Pants just wears MeUndies and a pair of short shorts. That's all I wear to magic shows, to gatherings. To Magic Shows, The Gatherings.
Magic The Gathering.
But yeah, well I mean, that's you want to. That's the only place that can make my white rabbit disappear. Pair of MeUndies.
Yo, by the way, did you think of these things like yesterday or something? Because these are very good.
No, this is all up here.
These are very good. You're getting better and better and better. And by the way, just like MeUndies, they got stuff for your dog. You can match with your dog. I mean, listen, if you're matching with your dog, I really hope you're happily married.
Yep, match your dog to your hog. Boom.
Okay, you see, he's there. You're on a roll, dude. Just keep it. By the way, you get free shipping. And I'm telling you, this Black Friday thing, you don't want to, first of all, we're all staying in. So we're all stuck at home. Just Black Friday, sit on your computer, order some memberships, order some loungewear, get something for your friend's dog. You know, that girl you like who's got a little chihuahua that barks incessantly, get him something. It'll be the best gift you ever got. And get something for yourself. Because you should treat yourself nice.
You should treat yourself to some nice MeUndies. It's that time of year where, you know, you're going to need to be comfy. Look at these people. Look how happy they are. If you can't see, you just can see some people of all ages,
and
canines and humans alike enjoying MeUndies together. All you have to do is go to MeUndies.com, use offer code STUCK, and you're there.
15% off free shipping.
That's right. And, you know, if you don't like them, they keep them and get your money back, but you'll love them. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And they will give you your money back. Then no questions. That's it.
That's it.
But you won't do that. No one's ever done that.
No. Some people have done it just for fun. Some people may have.
Just a Karen.
Magic for Susan's.
Yeah. But I mean, he's turning Karens into cool now.
Yeah, I know. Right.
He's doing magic for Karens and because he has people that he likes that are Karens.
Oh yeah.
And he doesn't feel it's fair.
No, he's a good dude. He's very funny. Very funny. Oh,
my God. I forgot to tell him if he needed a beta tester, you know, for these tricks. Hey, Justin. you need a beta tester for your tricks, because I know you do. Get all my information is available via Jason or whatever. Just you know, I'm easy to find, dude.
Oh, he's absolutely.
Dude, that trick. First of all, Dave Mustaine. I mean, I might have said Gloria Stefan, but you know, if I said Gloria Stefan, it would have been on there. You're just trying to think of the weirdest name.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of a random name, like just give him the most random things. I mean, he's not going to get any of that stuff. None of that stuff's going to come up. None of that stuff was ever going to
He wouldn't know that I'm pulling a reference from his show from last season. How the hell would this guy know that?
Exactly. Exactly.
And he just did that in like 2 seconds. That and the big ear part. He took that little ear part, moved his hand away. You never lost sight of his hand. It was back here. He pulls it all the way up, and it's like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. But I am still, I'm like, ooh.
Oh, no. I mean, these guys, and he is at the top of his class. We still have a video camera. Like, I'm from Reno, right? So we're not Maggoty with magicians, but we have a larger share of magicians than probably other cities, considering the location and what's available. We have more jobs, you know. Yeah, it's lousy with magicians. I wouldn't say that, but there are more there than there are in the average city, right?
That's a great term. Seriously, you are on a roll today. I'm stopping you just to say that again. And I don't give out empty compliments. I'm not like an empty valise. Go on.
But we were at a Denny's like 2 a.m. and there was he was obviously a magician because his girlfriend was way too hot for him.
Always. Magicians, it doesn't matter how you look, you're getting the hottest girl in the world. Claudia Schiffer.
But he started doing magic for us while we were standing there, and it just got progressively better. And he actually asked us to videotape it while he was doing it. And this is like pre-phones. This is like with a little.
Really?
Camera,
Like the Super 8 ones,
like a Super 8 camera, like a $400 or $500, like.
Of course, you had one.
Handy cam. Oh yeah, because
you've always been a tech guy.
Yeah, well, we were trying to make movies, but we recorded it and we were drunk and we watched him take a quarter and turned it from a regular size quarter into a quarter this big, like before our eyes with one hand, and we rewound it and tried to figure out where it changed. Never. Never figured out. He asked us, like, get closer, see if you can do it. Nothing. Love it. I love my mind being blown. I know that there's a reason for it, but it doesn't matter. It's magic.
I don't care what the reason is. I love that you know what the reason is, and I'm never going to know.
That's right.
And I get to walk around going, that was phenomenal.
Yep. I love
it. And I'm still thinking about the luggage tag. And let me tell you something. I don't want to say anything while he's doing it, but, you know, since we watched that Zoom, Magic for Zoom, he has that luggage tag on the, and he's talked a little about it in the show, but I didn't see a trick with it. And I was like, oh, I know the luggage tag. I know it's from Magic for Zoom. I'm like, and then how many things could freaking be written on there, Jason?
Oh, I know. It's incredible.
Epistemology. I mean, the study of philosophy. Ooh. I mean,
he didn't even know who Dave Mustaine was.
No, he didn't even realize that's a reference. He is like, oh, wait, is that a reference for my thing? I'm like, yeah.
I know. It's awesome. All right. So I have a couple news things I want to talk to you
about.
Thank you,
Nancy. Right. Go.
Yes. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Aunt Vivi. Happy Thanksgiving to you
all. Oh, that's Aunt Vivi. Happy Thanksgiving. And to all our Stuck at Homies, happy early Thanksgiving.
Happy early Thanksgiving. So,
go.
So Dave Chappelle.
My favorite.
Your favorite. He was on SNL. He talked a little bit about this, that HBO Max and Netflix both are showing the Chappelle show for free, and he's not getting paid. All right.
So I was kidding, but now that oh my God.
Right. Well, he talked about it a little bit. And then, a couple days ago, or actually today, we had this released. Dave Chappelle on his Instagram, and you can watch it. It's about 20 minutes long, tells us the story of kind of him growing up. And he talks about how when he was first there, he talks about a comedian who stole one of his jokes and kind of intimidated him in doing it. Also, because he was 14 when it happened. He talks about being 18 and having something similar happen to him. And then he talks about signing his deal with Comedy Central for the Chappelle show, leaving, that he didn't get paid very much for it. And he didn't get paid at all when he left that, you know, that big $300 million thing never actually came out because he left.
Well, he turned it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he finished half that season.
But he turned down $300 million.
Yeah. 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 I don't think he even got paid according to this. And I don't want to get too far into that part because that's not the important part.
Yeah. Go.
That he just basically said, I didn't get paid when I left, you know, they took it. Then it appeared on, you know, and that's, he, Then it appeared on Comedy Central, or then it appeared on CBS All Access, and then HBO Max, and then Netflix. Well, through this whole process, he said that it, you know, made him feel real bad, feel like he's kind of getting ripped off, and that he learned like that he needs to get paid. And he talks a little bit. He has this long kind of conversation about Three Card Monty, and kind of compares it to what Viacom and Comedy Central did to him, because specifically, you know, he said like, you know, everybody that was watching this Three Card Monty game that he participated in, and he thought everybody was watching, but he was actually didn't realize that everybody the surrounding this guy was actually their friends, and they were faking it too to make him make a bad decision to play the game. And basically goes through all this conversation, and basically at the end of it, he goes, "Hey, listen, I felt bad, I asked Netflix to take it down because it made me feel bad and I wasn't getting paid, and Netflix agreed." And
so
Netflix is taking it down. And he also basically at the end says, "You don't have to boycott HBO Max. You don't have to boycott anything, but I'm asking you to boycott watching my show until I get paid."
Done.
Well, and I just wanted to talk to you, and I wanted to ask you, because specifically, you know how these kind of contracts work in one way or another. So, you know, you have a show as big a hit as this, you have a company like Comedy Central. What kind of because I always assumed like there was some sort of syndication deal or something that would allow people, but can you talk to me, especially like you're talking early 2000s, how these kind of deals are structured?
Well, I mean, honestly, they're all different. Now, if he's the creator of this show and there's a syndication deal, he 1000% would be a part of that money. His royalties are a part of those sales. And every time they resell the syndication, a new syndication, right? You know, it's the way you see, like, it's like you said, like a Chappelle show on HBO Max, boom, they got a syndication sale. On Netflix, boom, they got a syndication sale. I mean, so he should be seeing money from all of that. He's a creator of the show with the other guy.
Now, knowing that there were no streaming situations back then, is this the loophole they're using? Like, they'd pay him if it was on Comedy Central, but because it's HBO Max, it's a streaming service. Netflix is a streaming service. Were those kind of deals put in there? Like, does it matter?
Not in 2000. You know, but this is, it has to be adjusted for. I mean, listen, you know, if he takes them to court, he's going to win, you know? And here's the thing, for a guy like Dave Chappelle, the optics, you know, for HBO Max or Netflix are terrible if they don't just do what he wants.
Right. Well, and Netflix, you know, he's obviously done a lot of specials for Netflix.
They're embedded guy so deep.
Yeah. And they very much, the minute he said, take it down, they took it down.
It's the same Tom Cruise as said, if you air to Paramount, when one of the big MIs was coming out, like 2 or 3, said, if you air the Scientology episode on Comedy Central, another Comedy Central thing, said to Paramount, I won't do any press for the new MI. And that's why it didn't come out on the season, that Scientology episode. So you see this time and again. So in this situation, you know, that was terrible. And censorship. And in this situation, Dave Chappelle is 1000% correct. And applause to Netflix for doing the right thing, because that is the right thing. And if there is no, which in 2000 or 99, there's no stream, they wouldn't even know how to write for that. But legalese has to be malleable. It has to be fluid. Mm-hmm. And if HBO Max wants to stick a fight with this guy, they're going to lose.
Right.
For sure.
Well, it seems like obviously...
Well, not HBO Max, Comedy Central.
Well, it seems like, you know, at least from this standpoint, he's got the lawyers that if he wanted to get it shut down, he could get it shut down. So that whatever has been written in there sounds like it's pretty airtight, at least for now. He's got, you know, but he's going a different direction. I think what'll happen is people decide to, like, take it down. I think that what he kind of seemed to indicate was, if people will just pay me for my show and stop playing it without my permission, I'll make more. Like, that's his... Which I think is the most brilliant way to do this. It's kind of like, I'll make more if you guys stop taking it away from me.
Yeah, it would be reasonable what he's asking. Mm-hmm. And he'd make another Chappelle show if everyone would treat him right. And, you know, again, you see this with Dave a lot. He is all about humanity. This guy is all about doing the right thing. Always, across the board, in every bit of his comedy, in everything he talks about, it's about doing the right thing to each other, for each other as humans. So he's not going the court route. He's going, hey, be a nice guy, be a nice human, and take the shit down. And I would wonder if HBO Max is going to, I imagine they would. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, HBO Max, well, you never know. I mean, one of the things he has a big problem with HBO that he explains in there was like he presented the show to HBO back in the day, and HBO pretty much laughed him out of the room.
Well, I didn't say HBO. I said HBO Max.
Fair
HBO, I can't. I mean, the worst. And by the way, don't get me started on HBO and the, you know, just because they have now diverse shows, that's, don't get me started, man.
They've had to evolve HBO. Into that.
Evolve. It had to be a fucking wrecking ball. I mean, First and 10 was a show about an all-white football team in the 80s.
I remember that.
Maybe there are a couple of black dudes on there. That's it.
Right.
That was it, right. HBO's idea of like, we're not racist. There were no black dudes in Rome.
No.
None. We can continue. Sorry, I'm not. But yes, everything. But this is what is symptomatic of the systematic racism that people talk about. It's built in, and we're seeing it even in these kinds of situations.
Right.
They're not doing the same thing to white creators.
Right. Well, he says, to be fair, he thinks that he would have taken advantage of it. He thinks that he wasn't necessarily taking advantage because he was black. He just thinks that they would take advantage of anybody that came.
He's right.
At that age.
He's right.
He's very optimistic. He's very,
he's the best.
He's very race forward on that side of this whole thing, but it's definitely a good thing. If you have a chance, I would take a listen. It's not, again, it's probably not the funniest 18 minutes, but it's a very compelling 18 minutes of,
where do we find it?
Chappelle. It's on Dave Chappelle's Instagram where he tells the story. It's really, really good.
Fantastic. I'm definitely going to watch that. Anything that guy talks about, I'm usually fascinated and always learn something. So, yeah. And by the way, so that's it. Don't watch Chappelle's show on HBO Max until they take it down.
Per Dave Chappelle, please not watch it. If you've bought it, whatever, but please don't watch it on HBO Max until he says it's okay. He says, please boycott him. I wanted to bring up this other piece of news because I had just a really bit of a question. So people are still doing... are still doing rehearsals. They're still trying out for movies. They're still trying to get parts. They're still going to these little tryouts.
I saw this.
So this is an interesting one. So there's an actor named Lucas Gage. He is on Euphoria.
The nicest guy, by the way, this kid.
And he's a kid.
He's a kid. And he's a great looking kid. He's a kid. He's talented. And he's a kid.
Yeah.
And sweet as hell.
Yeah, and sweet kid. So he goes in for a tryout for a movie.
I can't stop thinking about this, Jason. I'm sorry. It affected me all night. Go on.
Oh, it did. Okay, so we'll get through this.
No, but go ahead, please.
So he goes and he's doing a tryout. He's got a fairly big director on the other side, TV director specifically, but a big name. English white dude. And while he is doing it, the director doesn't have the mute button on and talks about how his apartment's shitty. And it's how do poor people live in these tiny apartments? And like his background, there's the TV there. And he's basically insulting this poor kid's house, this poor young new actor.
Who's doing very well, by the way. And by the way, maybe he's saving his money. You know, you ever think of that?
It gets better. In a hotel room. He's in a hotel room on a different movie. This isn't even his place.
Oh, yes. I love that. I didn't know that part of it at all. Yeah. That's the ultimate fuck you.
Yeah. But this guy is basically pissing on his interview space where he's doing this tryout.
Are we going to play it?
And I won't play it because it's really hard to get these things to play, but you can go look at it.
Well,
but
if we're not going to play it, go on.
He basically posted this, showed it, and he was nice. He actually, after it, during it, he interrupted him, trying to let him off the hook, and said, "I know it's a shitty apartment. That's why, give me a job so I can get a better one.
Give me this job. We're all good." And he was funny, and he was so nice and so charming and affable about it.
Yeah, he did, and he posted it, and he didn't even say this guy's name. He didn't do anything. I'm just curious about this because you've been on both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, talk to me about this kind of situation.
We did this on Entourage so many times. You know, we did it in the movie. We did it in the second season. Drama was always getting pissed at things that people were not paying attention to, and they're on their phones on the, you know, and this has been.
That great, and it's, sorry to interrupt, but that Dane Cook little short film that we talked about in our very first episode of the Cliff Dorfman Show.
Yes.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff too.
That's exactly right. And we see this all the time. You know, it's not anything you know, here's the thing. It was usually back before Zoom, you know, you turn, lean next to the casting director and whisper like, oh, these poor people in their shitty little apartments. I can't believe it. This is what we have to watch. What, Jesus, it makes me so sad, so pathetic. And you're like, oh, really? Is it? And you don't hear it. Right? That's how it comes. And with this now, you just have the same assholes, except they're not good with the technology. And they don't have their assistants around, these bourgeois, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that to me is what's striking. The confidence to just be that dismissive of somebody, like for no reason. You have no reason to need to say it. You're sitting in a room alone. And if you think you're on mute.
Hurtful. Yeah, I'm saying, even if he doesn't hear you, it's freaking hurtful.
Right, but like, who are you talking to?
Well, maybe he's talking to his wife or his, you know, his boyfriend or his cousin,
or
whoever's
there.
Or he's
talking to his personal chef and being like, come here.
Yeah. Isn't it pathetic?
Yeah.
These and, people.
Yeah. And not to, you know, not to out somebody who is being kept secret, but his name's Tristram Shapiro.
Help that fucker.
And he's a veteran TV director. He's directed on Unbreakable's Kimmy Schmidt, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Never Have I Ever. He finally apologized for it. But at the same time, he also said, I didn't mean poor, like, didn't have money. I meant poor, like, sad. Like, and he didn't say
that's better.
Like the way all of a twist is poor. Because, you know.
This guy kidding me? I mean, are you? Wait, say his name again.
It is Tristram. Yeah. With an M, T-R-I-S-T-R-I-T-R-A-M, Tristram. Tristram Shapiro, S-H-A-P-E-E-R-O. Shapiro is the dog I want next. I want to get a Tristram Shapiro for my house.
First of all, being a Jew, this is the type of shit why people don't like us, because you're an asshole. Second of all, with the name like Tristram, should go hang out with Joss, because obviously they're forgetting letters on each person's name and adding letters. I mean, you know, you're forgetting H's, adding S's, you're adding R's where they don't need R's. If you have a name like Tristram Shapiro, and this guy, by the way, how is he not fired? How is this guy not canceled?
I mean, it will. I mean, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, where it's definitely going to go around. I think that he had to apologize before somebody did something.
But that's not an apology.
I know. Well, he did offer after he tried to explain it away that way, which he did for TMZ. He did say, first and foremost, I offer me, this was a second apology.
Yeah, not first and foremost.
A sincere and unvarnished apology for my offensive words, my unprofessional behavior during the audition, and for not giving him the focus and attention he deserved. My job is to evaluate performers against the part I am trying to cast. Lucas deserved better. Yes, he does, and I hope somebody else gives him a much better part than whatever for the fuck. Tristram is what I take so I don't barf on a boat.
Yeah, to avoid seasickness, like Dramamine and Tristram. This is really, but I got to tell you, I mean, I don't want to spend a necessary amount of time. We're almost out of it.
You got 3 minutes. Spend it.
I mean, I got to tell you, I was very affected by this last night because it's so mean. Here's the thing, like, put everything else aside, right? You know, it has to come from a very deep, real part of yourself to say something like that. But let's put it aside that you said it. And this is what really got to me. It made me so sad. It made me angry. It made me so sad that someone had so little compassion, no matter that he doesn't know. This guy's still on a movie set. He's bawling. You know, right. Sitting in a hotel. It's probably somewhere pretty cool. And doing something more exciting than what that dude's doing and what we're doing. Meanwhile, he doesn't know that. And I didn't know that until today. And it made me so sad, Jace, that someone was like, okay, I'm going to now, in a pandemic, in the worst time where everyone's struggling, suicide rates are up, you know, you have all this stuff going on, I'm going to go pick on. It's like literally candy from a baby kind of thing and then spitting on the baby. And I was like, is this where people are at? Like, because I can't imagine, like, I want to give people money if I can. I want to do anything. Like, and I could not stop thinking that this kind of belief permeates maybe a lot more people out there than I wish to think about that it does.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. And that's part of the problem, right?
It's part of the problem with our business too.
It's a part of the problem with our business, but it's part of the problem overall that we are, you know, we've talked about this a little, and I don't want to end on a downer. I want to end on a really supportive thing, is that as a community, as a family, as a world, as whatever we are, as stuck at homies, but also as homies stuck together all the way around, like, these are the people that are ruining our ability to do this. These are the same people that aren't wearing masks. These are the same people that don't, that will, you know, and I'm going to say this, this is not a political thing. There are people that I would say align with me very politically that decide that they don't really have to do what they say they need to do. They'll go get their hair done. They'll go out to fancy dinners at places that would potentially put people at risk. They'll bring their parents over to a thing. It's everybody who's decided that they don't need to, they need everybody else to follow the rules, but they don't need to, that creates this self-importance. It's the same reason we have, traffic jams, because if everybody just went the same speed, everything would be fine. It's because one asshole needs to drive faster than everybody and a whole bunch of assholes need to also do it with them that caused the jams. And if we could figure out just a way to just respect everybody together a little bit more, like I think that our stuck at homies do, we just end up in a better place. And if we could do that more, that's all I want for Thanksgiving.
If we can also, yes, and I'm with you. And just to add, admit our culpability in it. That's what, you know, Chappelle talks about it. That's how apartheid went away. Everyone admitted their corruption. Yep. Everyone's got to admit their culpability and everything that's going on, and then we can just be nicer to each other. And on that note, by the way, I was just thinking, and we can end on this maybe, is about Justin Willman.
Yeah.
Is, you know what? He's so smart. He thought of a trick that's audio and visual.
I know, right?
Yeah, I just thought
pretty incredible, right? He did a trick that you could actually see happen audiologically.
Yes, exactly. And on that note, then, we want to wish everyone a beautiful, happy holiday, and we will see you after it is over on the next Monday, right?
That's what it is. That's right.
All right, so everyone, stay safe, stay sane, stay strong. Jason Smith.
Cliff Dorfman, I love you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.